What is it that we become when God is working His salvation out in us, when we are obeying Him and we're not complaining and grumbling? Notice He says that you may prove yourselves to be, or literally that you would become continually, habitually, blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the message today reveals some important truths about how we're to live out our faith.
Yes, David does. So let's get right to it. Our passage is Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough." For, you know, I like it when those kids shows, when they read this, they make us, "You've gone far enough." You know, you say that, and you can just see how evil it is, right? "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy." Hey, we're just as set apart as you. We can lead just like you can. "Every one of them and the Lord is in their midst. Why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. They're saying, rebellion time. Why are you the guy leading? We're all holy. We're all holy. We could do it. Now Moses fell on his face, and after he goes to the Lord, we have the Lord's response. You could read the middle part there, but go down to verse 31, chapter 16. "Then it came about, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground that was underneath them..." See, Moses challenged them. Hey, if the Lord's with us, this is what's going to happen, right? And then you know that portion. "And it came about, after he finished speaking all these words, that the ground under them was split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged with them went down alive to Sheol. And the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly." They were laid low. They grumbled against the Lord and were destroyed. They grumbled. Looked a little farther, but you know what? They even grumble about what happened to them. Look down in verse 41. "But on the next day, the congregation, the sons of Israel, grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, 'You were the ones that caused the death of the Lord's people,'" right? The ones who fell in the earth opened up, right? So they're grumbling about that. And what's the response? "It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned to the tent of meeting. Behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Get away from this congregation, that I may consume them instantly.' Then they fell on their faces." Now we know Moses entreats the Lord, and God is gracious for his name's sake. But God's response is, "Let me consume them instantly." We might think a little differently about grumbling when we realize that's the wage of sin. It's death. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And we need to take sin not lightly, because we should think about it in the context of fear and trembling, right? Grumbling, complaining is a serious, serious sin. It's a serious matter. And we have these in the New Testament saying very specifically, these things are written for our instruction. And I hope we have been instructed today. If you walk out of here and you complain or grumble, you have a bad attitude, Lord have mercy on you. See, grumbling is a characteristic of those who don't know Christ. Yet we as believers are tempted every day to grumble and dispute. We are. And we need to see the seriousness of it. We need to have God change our hearts, that we would respond rightly, that we turn from evil. The temptation comes, we turn to the Lord. We allow His word to remind us of the seriousness of sin and God's faithfulness to deliver us from that sin, and we turn from it. Just as you have obeyed, always obey. Keep obeying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God at work in you. Now, folks, indeed, Christians, as we saw back in the Old Testament, Christians are tempted to grumble against those in spiritual authority over them. I've seen this like you wouldn't believe. Many people grumble and resent the decisions I've made as a pastor, the ones in the body that God has given me an authority over. Maybe you have a different opinion. You want things done differently, but God has not placed you in that position. And you see the same thing with Moses and them. Satan uses the grumbling and complaining to very effectively separate the body of Christ. I'll tell you that right now. One pastor writes, arguing is the result of rebellion and a consistent second-guessing of those who, unlike Christ, refuse pain and suffering as part of God's plan and purposes. And virtually every instance of suffering, the whiners get in the face of God's leaders protesting against their pain. They seem to forget when they contend with God's leaders, they're really resisting God himself. That happens in any situation, in a marriage, where the husband is over the wife for a time, right? Equal in Christ's sight. It happens in the relationship to the government. God has placed government over us. It happens in your work relationship. God has placed unbelievers over you. You're to do your work heartily unto the Lord, not unto men. When you grumble about your work, you're grumbling to God and against him. In every circumstance, in every situation. And we are called to do all things without complaining and arguing or disputing. And again, this doesn't mean there isn't a dialogue that can happen in the midst of those relationships in a godly way, in humility, seeing others as more important than yourself. But if you find that irritation going on, you find that pull on the inside, that's not from the Lord. It's no coincidence this passage comes on the heels of the exhortation to think like Christ, to have the mindset of humility, to be a humble servant, to see others as more important than yourself. Indeed, grumbling and disputing and arguing are the fruit of a lack of humility in the moment. And those who do so place their desires, for whatever reason, good or bad, above everyone else. And the result is ugly, and God hates it because it's ultimately against him. When you're tempted to be discontent, to have displeasure, those feelings accompanied of annoyance and anger towards a certain person or situation, for whatever reason, turn to Jesus. Be instructed by the Old Testament and us in whom the whole end of the ages have come. Turn to Jesus. No temptation has overtaken you. That's in the context of that passage in 1 Corinthians, of grumbling and immorality and all those things. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. You're no different than anyone else. We have the same temptations. Don't think you're different because of your circumstances. That's a lie. He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. I believe the Lord uses his word by his Spirit to remind us, don't do that. Remember what happened to the Israelites. Remember my view towards that. Be instructed. We are tempted to grumble and argue in difficult circumstances rather than trusting the Lord. We're tempted to grumble and argue against our bosses rather than doing our work heartily unto him, to the Lord, enduring ill treatment with patience. Ladies, I'm sure you're tempted to grumble against your husband's dispute with them, maybe for good reason on the surface, rather than trusting the Lord, winning them without a word through your chaste, respectful behavior. And I could give illustration after illustration that hits each and every one of us because we are all tempted. Just remember, disputing and grumbling reveals a lack of humility and trust, and it is an elevation of self-interest and ultimately is against God. All things without complaining and disputing. At this point, there should be some confession going on, or it should already be going on if you've done this. And we have. We fall. Say, Lord, forgive me. I did it. And you'll be forgiven, set free, if you'll humble yourself. But if you're unwilling, if you still got excuses, well, they said this or that, I did it this way, then that's sin. Humble yourself. And then from this point on, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. When you're tempted to complain and grumble, don't do it. And at this point, we're going to see there's a temporal purpose and an eternal one and next time we look at it. But the temporal purpose, look back in our passage in Philippians. Temporal purpose. Very interesting. Chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights. He's saying, in short, he's speaking of our witness to the world, our witness in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Those who continually, habitually grumble like the Israelites did, I believe. Those who don't know the Lord. Now, for the sake of time, again, we're only going to see the first purpose, but there's a clause here. It begins with the word that. It comes from the Greek henna, which means so that or that, and it introduces a purpose clause. And the purpose clause is the first one we see is the temporal one we'll look at today, and then the eternal one we'll look at verse 16 later. So then, we are to do all things without complaining or grumbling, first for the purpose of that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. Now, you might have a note in your NASB, or become. You might have a little note there, and maybe in some other versions. This phrase translated, you may prove yourselves to be, is really only one word in Greek, genomai, which means to become. I think it's a better translation. Well, what is it that we become when God is working His salvation out in us, right? When we are obeying Him and we're not complaining and grumbling. What is it that we become? Notice He says that you may prove yourselves to be, or literally that you would become continually, habitually, blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. That you would become blameless and innocent. Now, we've been saved, and in Christ, we are blameless, right? Because of the righteousness of Christ. But practically speaking, at times, we are not blameless and innocent because of our actions. This book is moving towards the obedient side of a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And it shows in the midst of a dark world. He says that you would become blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. Now, this term blameless speaks of outward behavior that is without fault. Behavior that cannot be faulted or blamed. Now, you can blame anyone for anything, right? But it can't righteously be blamed or faulted. It's used in Luke chapter 1, verse 6 to speak of Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking, that's their walk, that's how they behave, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of law. There's nothing on the outside with Elizabeth and Zechariah that you could look at and say they weren't obeying God's word. Okay, that's the outside, that you would externally be blameless, right? It speaks to the outward appearance that cannot be faulted. But yet the reality is, a non-believer can walk around church and be blameless in a sense, can pretend to be a Christian, cannot be having affairs, cannot be getting drunk, can look really godly, right? On the outside. You see, the Apostle Paul was blameless, same word, chapter 3, verse 6, when he wasn't saved, Saul. Blameless in regards to the law. He did everything that was there. You couldn't point a finger at him and say, oh, you broke that law. But the reality for believers, it's not only that we are blameless outwardly, it's that we are pure inwardly. Notice the second word, the word translated innocent. It speaks of something that is unmixed or adulterated. It spoke of wine without water, metal without an alloy. An unmixed heart, something that is sometimes translated pure. This blamelessness on the outside is generated from a pure, unmixed heart. That you would be on the outside blameless and on the inside pure. Don't grumble and complain. Don't argue. Don't dispute. So that you will outwardly be blameless and on the inside you will be pure. You see, some people cannot argue and complain all the time. They can go around on the inside and be very blameless on the outside. Boy, he has such a great attitude towards everyone. On the inside, boiling over with grumbling. There can be people who are walking around here, men who are acting very godly, but yet on the inside are lusting after all the women. There could be women who are walking around here very godly, but on the inside internally angry towards people. But see, believers, when we obey the Lord with the mind of Christ, we will be outwardly blameless, that you would become blameless and on the inside innocent. Practically speaking, in our day-to-day walk, blameless and innocent. Term innocent is used in Romans chapter 16, be innocent of what is evil. When Jesus used it, be as innocent as doves, same thing, be pure, unmixed. We are to do all things without complaining or grumbling for the purpose, in order that we would become blameless and innocent, or demonstrate that. They're trying to give the translation, we already are in position and practically speaking, but the reality is this is speaking about our practical reality. Because if I complain and argue, I don't become blameless and innocent, do I? I'm not outwardly without fault, and I'm not inwardly pure, right? But when we obey the Lord, we become that in a practical sense, which the world is going to see in a practical sense. And notice he says here, children of God above reproach. The very fact that we are children of God should motivate us to reflect our Heavenly Father's moral characteristics as we trust and obey Christ. Grumbling and complaining and arguing completely inconsistent with the identity of a true child of God. Children of God above reproach. In the midst, as we will see, a perverse world, a wicked world. The term above reproach spoke of something that was unblemished or without spot. That on the outside, which was without spot, spoke of the animals that were unblemished for sacrifice. So when someone looks at you, there's no spot. And the spot is in the reality of your relationship with Christ. You're the real deal. You're not spotted and blemished because of sin. Because you're a complainer and a disputer and an arguer. You're a child of God reflecting the nature of your Father in heaven as you trust Christ and think like Christ. Above reproach. We are children of God and we ought to act as such. And when we don't, we are blemished and spotted in the context of the world. We need to confess that. We need to turn from that. We'll be forgiven. God will forgive you for everything. Confess our sins and move on from this point. Humbling ourselves when we're tempted. Don't do it. Don't go there. Go to Jesus. And when you fail, confess right away. When the child of God who has been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ grumbles and complains, he is subject to the blame and fault before the world. It's interesting. The world will do everything that's wrong, but then when you do it, they'll blame you because they know you're a Christian, right? That's true, right? Grumbling goes to the core of our relationship with Christ. It is inconsistent with our true nature as a child of God. We trust our Father. We rest in Him. We rely on Him. I don't need to worry about the situation surrounding me. I trust Him in relationship to what you're saying, what you're doing, what's going on around me. I trust Him. Therefore, I don't complain. 1 John chapter 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Purify yourselves, brothers and sisters. That's your destination in glory. Do it now. Say no to sin and trust Jesus instead. Stop grumbling and complaining. And notice in our passage, as we are obedient children without blemish, notice the sphere in which this happens. He says, children of God above reproach, back in Philippians 2:15, the end, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We live in the midst of a world full of people that are crooked and perverse. The term crooked means bent. It comes from the Greek word scoliosis, where we get our word scoliosis, curvature of the spine, right? It's bent. It's speaking of that which is curved, that which is twisted. It misses the mark. You see, everyone apart from Christ is not morally right or morally straight, but crooked. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It can also be translated, interestingly, perverse or unjust. It speaks of moral corruption. That's the state of mankind apart from Christ, and we're in the midst of that, okay? We really are. And then the second word here is used to describe mankind apart from God. Knows what it is, crooked and perverse generation. The first one was an adjective, if you know English. This one, translated perverse here, is diastrepho. It's actually a present participle. And it speaks of one who has been twisted or perverted in the past, and they are still twisted and perverted now. It's happened. The term diastrepho spoke of that which was on a potter's wheel, which had a mishap. It got distorted. It got perverted. It is not what it's supposed to be. And folks, sin corrupts, and sin corrupts mankind, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. It's speaking of people, speaking of the world. You see, the world, because of sin, is separated from God and walks in a crooked, perverse state. And indeed, the world complains and argues about everything, but this should not be in the lives of the children of God, who are renewing their minds with the word of Christ, humbly seeing others as more important than themselves. And notice, we live in the midst of this, end of verse 15, among whom? Among non-believers. He says, you continually, habitually appear as lights in the world. We are lights in the world whether we like it or not. It's how our light shines, by the way. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine in such a way that they'll see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are the light of the world and we are complaining and arguing. Our light is not shining in such a way that that's done. It's stained. It's spotted. This term appear means to shine. It speaks of a continual shining. We are those in the midst of a world shining. And the term translated lights here speaks of stars or luminaries. Stars. It could be translated stars. Just as the stars shine above in the darkness, we shine in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation down here. In the same way, it's a moral shining. You see, light is related to righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And as I mentioned, we are the light of the world, as Jesus said. And we are to let our light shine in such a manner that the world sees our good deeds and glorifies our Father who is in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are to no longer walk in darkness. We are light in the Lord. Therefore, we are demonstrating or proving those things that are righteous, true, and right. We are the light of the world. And in our passage, we are to do everything without complaining, grumbling. Notice here, because we are shining as lights. Brother and sister, when we are blameless and innocent as God's children above reproach, we shine in the midst of a dark, perverted world. The temporal reality of why we are not to complain and grumble is very important. We are the light that God has placed here in the body of Christ, that people would see it, that they'd be convicted of their sin, that they would turn and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't think anyone's going to ask why you have hope in Jesus when you complain and grumble all the time. I'll tell you that right now. Stained, blemished. But in the midst of difficulties, difficult people, difficult situations, things that you don't agree with, things you don't like, you don't respond that way because you're trusting Jesus. You're going to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The world complains all the time. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, is telling believers here in Philippi that we are to do everything without grumbling and disputing. For the purpose that we would be outwardly blameless, inwardly pure, with no spots in a sinful world in which we shine like stars in the universe. Very important. And next week we'll see there's an eternal reality to it. So not only are we to not complain and grumble, we're going to see that we are to rejoice instead, to be joyful. How are we to live the Christian life? We're to do everything without grumbling or disputing. Let me ask you this. What's your view of complaining and grumbling, disputing and arguing? What's your view of verbal expressions of discontent or displeasure that are accompanied by feelings of annoyance and anger? What's your view of that? What's your view of arguing? Hopefully, we have learned and have been instructed from those from whom the end of the ages have come. And we've seen that we are to do everything without that, that God hates it. It's against God. And when we do and we obey Him, we will be those who are blameless and inwardly pure, with no spots in the midst of a dark, sinful world in which we shine as luminaries.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Dave, our takeaway is this. There is so much at stake here for believers regarding doing all things without complaining and grumbling. Indeed, not only is complaining and grumbling a serious sin that the Lord hates, but it is also something that hinders our testimony to the world when we yield to this heinous sin. So with that in mind, are you willing to submit yourself to Christ, trust in Him, renew your mind, allow Him to deliver you from those circumstances? If you are, you'll be letting your light shine so that people will see Christ in you in the midst of a hopeless and dark world.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.